The Lord has been so gracious with me, in spite of my own woundedness and very clearly through a journey of brokenness that He has touched profoundly. I get the opportunity to share and to talk to a whole lot of people, and I've been doing that for years and years. And I always want to tell them the story of God's grace and the fact that He meets us in our woundedness and that He is a Savior who a bruised reed He will not break and a smoldering wick He will not put out. These are amazing truths that I've experienced in my own life, and I get the opportunity to go and share with others. Well, as I'm trying to state, I get opportunities to go all over the place. That's the grace of God and the mercy of God, and it has everything to do with God. And so in any given year, I can be in Canada, in Tennessee, out west in Nebraska or Colorado or any one of a number of other places. And I'm there to help people learn how to position the broken to be healed in Christ, and also to talk to people about the glory of Jesus and the wonder of Christ and this tremendous healing mercy that He pours out on broken folks, that through what was their worst of experiences, they experience Him in such a way that all of a sudden it becomes their best of experiences. Well, with that introduction, I want to mention the fact that recently, Cheryl and I had the opportunity to spend a week with field grade officers in the United States military down at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, where I had been invited to come and teach a course. Now, the purpose of the course was to talk about theological integration in counseling, in pastoral care, in psychotherapy. And in essence, I taught about the integration of neurobiology and behavioral science and spiritual life into an approach to caring for people that have been deeply hurt. And what an amazing privilege it was for us to spend that time on a military base where there are men and women that have given their lives in service to this nation to keep us safe. Now, regardless of where you are politically on all that, it's important to recognize that to some degree they are fulfilling the admonition that Jesus says there is no greater love than to lay down your life for another, especially people that you really don't know, which is true of these amazing soldiers. And so I was there to teach a course. The course was to men and women that were completing an 18-month master's degree in clinical counseling. They would have already been designated as chaplains because of their years of service and the fact that they would have completed a 3-year professional master's before this master's degree. And I guess my course was to some degree at the end of their experience, and I wanted to represent Jesus well, and I wanted to serve them well. And as I said, it was nothing short of an amazing experience. Some of these soldiers had already been enlisted men who then got out, got seminary degrees, and went back as chaplains, which are officers. Some of them never served in the enlisted ranks, but were always officers, and they had intended to respond to the call of God by being chaplains in the service. And I was asked by a friend, I'm not going to name him here, who happens to be a lieutenant colonel, to go down and to spend this time teaching. And it was just a very powerful experience for Cheryl and I to drive on that Army base every single day of the week and meet these amazing people. And one of the things that this particular chaplain said to me is that on this base, where most of the people are either going into battle or coming home from battle, that they serve a culture, his words, of trauma, loss, and grief. A culture of trauma, loss, and grief. And it all revolves around the fact that these particular soldiers on that particular base, they spend a significant amount of time separated from their families. Some of them, every 3 years, they go on a deployment that is a hardship tour, where they're going to be away from their family for up to a year or more. And they've served in places like Iran and Iraq and certainly in Afghanistan. Some of them have gone and spent time in Korea. But the idea is that it's a very, very unique culture. It's a culture that I certainly don't understand. It was like a cross-cultural experience. And yet there was something very moving and touching about it. Now, in the midst of all of this, I had the opportunity to just sit casually around with these individuals, and there was one man there who was an Army chaplain, now clinical counselor, who had spent the first 11 years of his service in the Navy. And so I asked him, I said, I know a lot of people that have gone into the Navy as chaplains. Why did you choose to go into the Army? And his comment was very, very telling. He said this, I chose to be an Army chaplain because Army chaplains are embedded with the troops. I said, say more. And he said, an Army chaplain is assigned to a particular company, and that's where they serve. They are not sitting over at the chapel waiting for people to come with over to them, but in fact, whatever the soldiers are doing, they're doing it with it and with them. And what was interesting about it is that two of these chaplains had been assigned to airborne. And so they had gone and made their jumps. They were part. When the troops go up in an airplane to practice jumps, they jump. When this particular lieutenant colonel was assigned to Afghanistan with the airborne, he went out on patrol with them to serve these soldiers. In fact, he was wounded as a chaplain. One of the chaplains, a young man, was a master jump master because he had already done 35 jumps as his tenure in the airborne. Now, this is the point I'm wanting to make that is the heart of this little talk today. They were embedded. They were with the troops. They didn't stand apart and beg the troops to come to them. They went to be with them. Wow. This goes right back to what we talked about in the previous podcast. The whole idea that we are here to be embedded as ambassadors of God in the lives of people that are experiencing difficulty in order that we can serve them and tell them the story of Jesus. I came to a new appreciation for first what it means to be a chaplain, but also for the nature of how they serve. One of the chaplains said, you know, when I got my first assignment, my leader simply said, find out what the soldiers are doing, go do it with them. Find out where the soldiers are, go be there with them. If they're out in encampment, you encamp. If they're in training, you help them with training. If they're deployed, you are deployed. Why? Because this chaplain is to be salt and light in the midst of these people's lives. That is exactly what Jesus Christ did for us as he tabernacled in our midst. He set up his tent among us. He became human to walk with us. He didn't flash a message across the sky or simply send us a book that tells us how to be saved. Jesus came and walked in our midst. And that's precisely what is to be true of us as Christians. And so this was a very powerful experience, but also a powerful reminder. Jesus was an embedded servant. We also are to be embedded here in this world as salt and as light. Years ago, I happened to have a conversation with a man who'd become a Christian, and he wanted prayer about going on a weekend retreat with some of the guys he'd hung out with before. It was a company issue, and he really wanted to stay faithful to the Lord. And so I prayed with him and so forth. And when he came home, I asked him how it was, and he said, oh, it was great. I was able to spend the whole weekend with them, and they never really knew I was a Christian, so they weren't able to kind of pick on me for that. Okay, I can understand what he's saying, but it's actually the opposite of what we are to be when we follow Jesus and we name his name. We're not hidden spies. We're to be right out there. I mean, remember what Jesus said, let your light shine. Shout it from the top of the rooftop. Stand on the highest hill and let people know that you are, in fact, a follower of Christ. Now, that doesn't mean you're beating people over the head with a Bible or handing them tracts or shoving the Roman road down their throat. It means that you and I need to be where people are, spending time with them, hearing their stories, being in some ways a tabernacling people that get right in there. That's the essence if you will, of incarnational theology. Incarnational theology is the fact that Jesus comes and he becomes one of us in order that we can experience union with God. How are people going to experience union with God if we aren't embedded? Look, you know people at your work that are outside of Christ? Don't pass up the opportunity to live Jesus right before them. Show them kindness. Show them love. Be generous. Get to know them. Care about their burdens. Pretty soon they're going to ask you, what drives this in your life? And you're going to be able to tell them the story of Jesus. Are you a teacher? You can do the same thing both as a teacher and a member of the faculty. Do you work in a factory? Doesn't make any difference where you are or what you're doing. We are citizens of another place. We are here for a purpose. We are a colony of heaven. And we're not simply here to grab ourselves into this little koinonia clutch or get into the salt shaker and in all joy in being there together, but we are to be out into the world, storming the heights for God, sharing the message of Jesus. There are people that are hurting. They are broken, and they need this good word. And it is my calling and your calling to be part of this. I bring you all the way back to Jesus' great commission in Matthew 28. Go, get out there. Build relationships with all people, pantata ethne, all different ethnic groups. Make disciples of them, teaching what it is to walk the way of Jesus and to walk the way of Jesus, the way Jesus walked the way. This is so foundational to the essence of being a follower of Christ. Remember, what did Jesus do with his disciples? He loved them, he trained them, he raised them up, he modeled for them getting integrated, being a friend of God, being a friend of sinners. And then there came a time when he said, I give you authority, go do what I've been doing. And he sent them out two by two to do what? Share the good news of the kingdom, touch people's lives, care about their hurts. And pretty soon they wanted to know more about Jesus as well. That's what we're to be about. Oh, let's break this cycle of being known more for what we're against than what we're for. And let's not run away from the world, but let us recognize that we are here as implants embedded in this world, praying for the welfare of the city, caring about how our neighbors are getting along, and doing what we can to lift up the name of Jesus in this world. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And so, I mean, in this casual conversation with a bunch of men who have given themselves to Christ to serve men and women that live in a culture of trauma, loss, and grief, I hear them talk about how chaplains are embedded, and it makes me think of us and how critical it is that we know that's our role also. We're here for a purpose, aren't we? It's not simply for us to grow in Christ. That's great. But it's also to serve him by sharing the good news of the gospel, that there is a righteousness available to all people through Jesus. And all they really need to know is believe. And how can they ever believe if they never hear the story? May our lives position them to ask, what is it about us that is so different? And then we'll tell them the story of Jesus. I want to remind you that there's a whole bunch of stuff on websites. You can go to HCMI, HCM International. You're going to find some information there about the not-for-profit arm of what we do. And you can go to terrywardle.org, and there's all the events I'm going to be speaking at, and there's little videos, and there's some teachings, and you can link to podcasts there. All we want to do is serve you and tell you the good story of Jesus. Hey, don't forget, God's face shines upon you.